Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. At this time, we would like to welcome everyone to the conference call for Wilson Sons third quarter 2014 results. Today with us, we have Mr. Michael Connell, IRO and International Finance Manager, and Mr. Arnaldo Cabucci, COO of Maritime System. We would like to inform you that all participants will be in a listen-only mode during the company's presentation. After remarks by the company's management, there will be a question-answer session for industry analysts. At the time, further instructions will be given. Should any participant need assistance during this call, please press star zero to reach an operator. Today's live webcast, including both audio and slideshow, may be accessed online through the Wilson Sons Investor Relations website at www.wilsonsons.com.br/IR. Before proceeding, let me mention that forward-looking statements are based on the beliefs and assumptions of Wilson Sons management and on information currently available to the company. They involve risks and uncertainties because they relate to future events and therefore depend on circumstances that may or may not occur. Investors should understand that conditions related to macroeconomic environment, industry, and other factors could also cause results to differ materially from those expressed in such forward-looking statements. Now, I will turn the conference over to IRO and International Finance Manager, Mr. Michael Connell, who will begin the presentation. Mr. Connell, you may begin your comments now, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. I'm here with Arnaldo Cabucci and Cesar Bayon. First of all, I'd like to thank you for joining us on our conference call of our quarterly results, together with some highlights of the market dynamics. Please turn to slide number 4 of our presentation for a brief summary of our consolidated results. Wilson Sons' net revenue of $177.2 million in the quarter was some 5% above our 3Q 2013, principally due to growth in container handling volume together with improved full empty mix, greater deadweight of vessel served combined with higher numbers of harbour storage manoeuvres, and advancement of shipbuilding activities in the Guarujar shipyard. Logistics were, however, lower due to fewer dedicated operations as the focus shifts to bonded warehousing. EBITDA reached a record of $52.4 million, 5.5% higher than the comparative, as a consequence of this revenue growth and some improvement on costs. Net income was strongly affected by three significant foreign exchange effects on our balance sheet. The first is the exchange loss of $17.6 million as a result of balance sheet translation of real-denominated net monetary assets, such as cash and cash equivalents, disclosed in the exchange gain-loss line. The second is an $8.8 million negative impact in deferred taxes, principally as a result of the company's fixed assets being located in Brazil and therefore having real currency-based tax deductions for the depreciation over the period allowed by tax legislation. When the real depreciates, the future tax deduction allowable in the same real term is the same real term but reduced when converted to US dollar reporting currency. And the third effect is the negative FX impact on investments and loans of $7.2 million. CapEx in the quarter totaled US$29.7 million, principally as a result of the construction of tugboats and the expansion of the Brasfetaju oil and gas terminal, together with expansion of the warehousing facilities in Tecon Salvador. Moving now to slide 5, I present the quarter net revenues and EBITDA highlights by business. The container terminals revenues and EBITDA increased with volumes and a better full tanky mix. The Brasco oil and gas support terminal revenues and EBITDA decreased against the comparative quarter as a result of a reduction in support to exploration with two operations in Bahia seeking. EBITDA margin did, however, improve with a change in the surface mix and cost optimization efforts, together with the end of another low-margin operation in Niterói. In logistics, we had a revenue and EBITDA reduction as a result of the before-mentioned end in dedicated operations during the second quarter 2014, and increased competition at our San Andrea bonded warehouse faces from additional airport and port terminal bonded capacity in the San Pablo area. The business continues to focus its strategy on bonded warehouses in pre-2014 dedicated operations and transport reduced some 44% against the comparative. Towage revenues and EBITDA increased as a consequence of higher harbour manoeuvres and larger vessels attended. Shipyard revenues increased, although with lower EBITDA, given the lower margins and stages of operation, stage of construction and faster vessels. Solid growth in offshore support vessels reflects the largest operating fleet, with own vessel operation days up 27% and newer vessels with higher daily rates. Now moving to slide number 7. Here we detail the container terminal environment in Brazil, Uruguay and Argentina, which will help understanding of the competitive environment of the market. Our Rio Grande terminal is situated in the middle of the region of influence that begins with Buenos Aires in the south and stretches as far as Paraná in the north. Our Salvador terminal in the northeast provides coverage not only for Bahia, but Sergipe, Alagoas, Pernambuco, Goiás, Tocantins, and the north of Minas Gerais and Espírito Santo. On slide number 8, we can see that in these regions of influence for the container terminals of Rio Grande and Salvador, the annual growth rate of container queues has been 4.7% and 5.5% respectively over the last 7 years. The new terminal capacity has been added not only through our own expansion, but also the commencement of new operations with particular impact for transshipment volumes in Rio Grande as a result of the commencement of Itapoá. Transshipment volumes and empty container volumes distort the overall rate somewhat as they are much cheaper container movements and do not necessarily reflect the underlying growth of industry and demand in the regions of influence. For this reason, if we move to slide number 9, here we can see the underlying growth of full volume of our two terminals over the last 7 years at 3.7% in Rio Grande and 4.2% in Salvador. Obviously, part of this growth is full volume comes from the production in the state and surrounding regions where the terminals are located, but it is also important to observe, for instance, that some of the growth comes from cabotage, where the product may have origin or destination practically anywhere in Brazil. Cabotage has lower cost over long distance, removes traffic from roadways, and is a more secure form of transport. So we believe it will continue to be an important opportunity for our container terminals. On slide 10, we can see another opportunity in the container terminal market. Containers are an important alternative to move products critically shipped in bulk. Two of the biggest successes we have had in this area have been products of rice and cellulose. The terminals constantly seek producers of new products to test if they can benefit from the efficiency, standardization and security of containers as a mode of transport. The image of stone powder that you can see on the slide is used in ceramics, talcum powder and plastics, and it's just one example of a new product being tested. Moving to towage, across the next three slides, 11, 12 and 13, you can see some of the new impacts in the market and specifics of the Brazilian fleet of towage vessels. New terminals continue to present an opportunity, and the image of the first vessel berth at the Port of Açu is an interesting example of this. Our new operations in the ports of Pará have contributed to solid operating data growth, so we have included for you some images of these operations. One of the more pronounced trends in shipping has been the continuing growth of vessel sizes and hence the tendency for increasing demand for larger tugboats, which naturally favours the towage operators with the most powerful fleets. On slide 14, we present Wilson Sons Ultra Tug Offshore's fleet evolution. The Wilson Sons Ultra Tug Offshore joint venture is currently operating 19 vessels of its own, and it has contracts for construction of a further 5 vessels, 3 in international shipyards, and a compared to two Tier 3s in our Guarujá shipyard in Brazil. By the end of 2016, we will boost our capacity to 24 operating vessels, enabling us to take advantage of demand and consequently contributing to the growth of this business. On page 15, we present a recent image of the Fugro Aquarius vessel nearing completion. At a value of more than $80 million, which is one of the highlights to date in our shipyard, and the first vessel of this type, ROVSV, built in Brazil. In terms of the shipyard market, on slide 16, we detail some of the leading players. Although these shipyards can produce vessels for other destinations, the biggest market for them is obviously clients participating in the PROEFAM, Brazilian Program for Renovation of Fleet, bids. Our shipyard market share in the PROEFAM new build bids for OSCs has stood at 14% since these bid programs commenced. One of our advantages here is our consistency of delivery. Our order book, including vessels under option, is a reflection of this advantage and based on a long history of internal and third-party deliveries. On slide 18, you can see the October status of our Brasque Caju civil work. You will see the key construction is in full swing. The dredging is licensed and contracted, so will be the upcoming focus of this project to be finalised during 2015. We received a lot of questions of other possible projects in other regions by other operators that highlight that additional to our location advantage between the Campos and Santos basins and close to the Rio base of landside support to the oil and gas industry, we have a distinct first mover advantage for this business. So finally, I'd like to present a quick slide of some of our 2013 business returns on capital employed. This may help with analysis of infrastructure investments and give a little insight into their behaviour over time. Return on capital employed measures return against the book value of assets in the business. As these assets achieve higher utilisation, the return on capital employed will increase. That newer infrastructure will tend to have a lower return on capital employed than older infrastructure, even though they are possibly better businesses. We generally see IRR minimums, internal rate of return minimums, on our projects rather than return on capital employed. But this measure may help understand how we are managing our business and investments. We look to long-term assets that have some strategic competitive advantage in markets that we have just discussed to create above average annual returns. At this stage, I'd like to invite you to move to the question and answer portion of today's conference call. Thank you.
Thank you. The floor is now open for questions. If you have a question, please press star 1. Our first question comes from Robin Byde from Cantor Fitzgerald.
Hi, thanks very much. Good morning, good afternoon. Just a few from me, please. Hi, Michael. Just on the lower operating costs in the quarter, you mentioned in the statement lower personnel expenses and also lower bought-in logistics freight costs. But how much of the positive impact was due to the weaker real? That's the first one. And secondly, just in oil and gas, just on the margin improvement and the service mix, so do you expect margins to continue to improve as you bring the new Brasco facility online, or are we likely to see some initial margin squeeze? Thanks.
Hi, Robin. Thanks for the question. Just one by one, you mentioned the real. If you look at the quarter comparatives, we have an exchange rate third quarter 2013 of 229 average versus an average exchange rate 2014 of 228. So there's really negligible impact from the exchange rate in our operating results during the quarter. The only impact of exchange rate is on the balance sheet right at the end of the quarter when there's a devaluation. So really all the impact within our results during the quarter on the EBITDA level and operating costs for that matter is really a result of all the factors that we mentioned, some of which being the port and logistics reduction in payroll taxes, for instance. So port and logistics businesses together with our towage, offshore and shipyard business have an improvement in their payroll tax costs as a result of the movement in legislation in Brazil that allows us to pay payroll tax at a rate of 1% over the sales of the business rather than as a result of a much higher percentage over the payroll itself. So that's essentially the main operating cost improvement that we've seen in our business. I didn't know if you had a further question of the margin.
Yes. Hi, Michael. Just on the oil and gas side, I like your slide number 18. And obviously, in the quarter just reported, you know, the margins improved quite significantly, and you talked about, I think you terminated or came to the end of a lower value contract. But I'm just sort of thinking into next year. You know, do you think margins will get squeezed as this new facility comes on stream? So will there be an initial phase of margin squeeze?
Yeah, Robin, certainly we've got still the capacity installed, and so you know, we'll be looking to get clients into the site, and that certainly can have an impact on margin as we ramp up capacity over the 2015-16 period. But when we have the operations in full swing, what we expect to have is margin improvement as a result of economy of scale that we've achieved by diluting our fixed costs across a much larger number of clients.
But it's not going to be 15.
Yeah, we're
going to take some time. Yeah.
Some time through 2017.
Yeah. Okay, and just a final one, if I may, just on the logistics business. We've obviously been talking about this for quite a long time now and the refocus on bonded warehouses and logistics centres. But, you know, when should we expect, you know, revenue and profit to start trending positive?
Again, you know, we're going to see through 2015 a reduction in logistics as our focus continues on the fulfillment of the capacity installed in the new Swapi warehouse, but at the same time the reduction in the dedicated operations. So, again, you're looking for 2016 before you see high growth in this particular business.
Okay, great. Thanks very much. That's very clear.
Thanks, Robin.
Once again, if you have a question, please press star 1. Remembering, if you have a question, please press star 1. As there are no questions, I would like to turn over the floor to the company for final considerations.
Okay, I'd like to thank you all for joining us on our conference call. Have a good day, everybody. Thank you.
Thank you. Wilson Sons conference call is finished. Have a nice day.